reading
in the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
All right.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went all around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dear brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters, we are now in week 3 of our current 4-week preaching series titled The Power of Vision, inspired by the major who followed their vision, came and discovered Jesus, did him homage, and returned home transformed. We build our preaching series. The goal of this preaching series, as we know by now, is to help us concretely live out as individuals and as a community our parish vision and purpose statement. And that is, St. John the Evangelist is a vibrant Catholic community that brings people to Christ, forms them as disciples, and sends them forth to transform the world. And to this end, every member faithfully commits to worship God, serve others, form friendships, mature in faith, grow in holiness, share one's gifts, and proclaim the gospel. In the previous weeks, we have preached on worship, service of others, and forming friendships. As I put it last week, this is clearly expressed by the Latin maxim, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi, meaning, as we worship, so we believe, so we live. Worship being concretely translated into action and guiding our choices. Today, our focus extends to growing in holiness and maturing in faith. And as the backdrop to today's readings, the message of the prophet Isaiah has been one of a call of the nation of Israel to mature in their faith, in the God of Israel, and to grow in holiness. The lack of it evidently led them to their present predicament. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Because prior to this, Isaiah had been repeatedly challenging God's people to avoid seeking alliance with foreign nations for protection from invasion. Instead, they must ally themselves wholly and completely with the Lord alone. So in their crisis, the prophet immediately follows his message with a reference to the Assyrian conquest, which led to the degradation of the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now he gives them hope for the future. He says in the era of the ideal king, Israel will be led from darkness into light and will enjoy. This is because the king will lead the people by relying completely on the Lord rather than foreign alliances for protection. The second reading presents us with an example of a community, a Christian community that, having received the faith, having received the gospel, has failed to grow in holiness and has failed to mature in that faith. And this is what is seen in the reading, as it is reported that there was factionalism and open immoral behavior and even the profanation of the Lord's Supper. And this was evidenced in the Corinthian Christian community, one that had been founded by St. Paul. So Paul had to challenge them to rise above that and come to the realization that Christians belong to no one but Christ. Added to that, the heart of the matter is not about human wisdom. It's not about who preached the gospel to them. It's not about how eloquent that person was. It's all about Jesus Christ and his cross. So in today's gospel, Jesus calls his disciples so that they will be with him and get to know him intimately. If they will be his ambassadors, if they will represent him, if they will carry his message forward, then it must be permanently and boldly imprinted in their hearts and not just in their heads. And so Jesus calls them so that they will be with him and acquire the Spirit. St. Mark is very clear when he comes to dealing with Jesus' relationship with his disciples during this period of formation. Constantly they fail to understand him. He kills people. They don't understand. But who is this at all will always be the question. He speaks with authority. But who is this at all? That even the wind, that even the sea, that even the demons obey him. Who is he? They had a long way to learn. And we can say that through the whole period that Jesus spent with them, from his calling of these disciples to his death and resurrection, all that period was one of ongoing formation for them. Because the time would then come when he will send them out as ambassadors. And so this stage of being sent out as disciples, fully prepared, would not be achieved in one moment of conversion. And that is why they needed all that length of time. And so from their experience, we learn that being a disciple does not arise from a single momentary conversion, but a continuous and ongoing lifelong conversion. Even St. Paul, when he had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, he did not immediately launch himself into ministry. It is known that St. Paul went into the Arabian desert, where he spent a considerable amount of time reflecting on his experience and growing into his ministry, growing into his new identity, no longer as Saul, but Paul, no longer as the persecutor, but the one who eventually will be persecuted because of the maturity of his faith. He will stand and now be willing to die for the sake of Christ. So much to the extent he had grown so much in the faith and in his knowledge of Jesus Christ and his own identity as a disciple, an apostle, that he was ready to defend and assert his position when he met with the apostles, the 12, when they met in the Council of Jerusalem. And in that moment, at that period, Paul was there not to be taught by them. He was only going to confer with them and to assert his position that he was authentically called by Jesus Christ. And the gospel he is preaching is a genuine gospel handed to him to be an apostle to the Gentiles, just as the others had been called to be apostles to Israel, the Jews. So a disciple takes conversion to the next level and is driven by curiosity to know and grow and to be more like his master. A disciple is one who investigates, who hears and believes, and then most importantly, acts animated by a converted heart. In my ministry, I've encountered so many Catholics who know so little about their faith and about the sacraments. From a recent encounter, I put this question to you for your reflection. Maybe you can answer it by yourselves. Please, would any one of you here tell me why a Catholic who has grown to maturity in his faith will request Holy Communion, not from a Catholic priest, not from a deacon, not from a Eucharistic minister, but from a Protestant minister? But what worries me the most is such a seeker, such a one making a request like that, being fully aware that such a minister is incapable, or not even knowing that such a minister is incapable of consecrating the Eucharist. So much for growing in our faith. So much of our knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has given to us in the sacraments. You know, I've also encountered a number of Catholics whose bragging rights with respect to their faith formation ends only with baptism and confirmation. They can boldly assert, "Oh yes, I've been baptized and confirmed. I have my baptismal certificate. What next?" End of story. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, let no one remain satisfied, living with the awareness of being in what has been aptly described by others as in a bubble of being sacramentalized, but not sufficiently catechized or evangelized. There must be ongoing formation for us to interiorize the message of Jesus Christ and transformed, be transformed from within. And that now will impact upon our ministry. Developing a personal interior life is therefore non-negotiable. Growing in holiness is mandatory. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Matthew 5:48. Instead, be holy in all that you do, just as God who called you is holy. 1 Peter 1:15. We can add that maturing in faith is very important. So in order to take our conversion to the next level, you and I and all of us are encouraged to be part of some form of ongoing formation. The ongoing formation opportunities abound in this parish. We need to connect with one. And as a major boost to this, we are encouraged to take advantage of the parish subscription to FORMED by regularly visiting that website, www.formed.org. This is a single-stop website that makes accessible to us Bible studies, movies, books, and loads of faith formation material for our spiritual growth. Of great value is also to journey with Bishop Barron as he explores the lasting influence of pivotal players of Catholicism. There are many other options available in our bulletin for our benefit. And as we resolve to form disciples, as we resolve to grow in holiness and mature in our faith, by taking every advantage of every opportunity given us, may the Holy Spirit truly enlighten, guide, and teach us. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.